Everyone wants to be a success in life. There's a desire to excel and do great things. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, learn how to put God's Word first place in your life and get ready to receive His extraordinary results in the year ahead.
The Lord has a plan for you like that. I don't care where you are, who you are, how desperate, how down and out. I don't care how up and high or anything else. God has a perfect plan for your life. And He has a laughing place. He has a joy place for you. You don't have to be bound up and live old, bad, sorry world. Yeah, Uncle Billy Copeland, you don't understand. I lost my 401k. Well, who cares? Get you a 555 Jesus or something. I mean, forget that. That stuff is a failure to start with.
Will cash do?
Your cash will work.
Okay.
Well, up to a point, it's got to where it's gotten a little tired lately. But God will make it work. God doesn't even need money.
He does.
He can bless you beyond all kinds of reasons.
That's right.
Get your mind off of what you don't have. Start praising Him for what you do have. And He'll start increasing things and leading you places. And you'll have a good life wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Let's go back over to the book of Matthew again and look at what Jesus said in the, I got two different places. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. In the 12th chapter, let's read this first, in the 36th verse. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For, now listen to this. This is what I really, really want you to get hold of this. This has to be buried right up in the front part of your mind. For by your words thou shalt be justified, by your words you will be condemned. Not what somebody else said about you.
Mm-mm.
It's not anybody else's fault. You're not going to be judged by what somebody else does or says. You're going to be judged by what you say. And your words are bigger than your actions because it's your words that incite your action. Action doesn't come first. The words that you speak are conceived and worked with, and they either turn into righteousness or sin. And you'll be judged by every one of them. Every word that comes out of your mouth that has its origination in the Word and in faith is written down. I'm going to go over here to Malachi. I want you to see that. I'll tell you, I got so excited over this. My daughter, Kelly, showed this to me. I had been reading this chapter over and over and over and over and over for years and years because Gloria and I read it when we tithe, we read it and we believe God, we stand against the devourer.
Yes, we do.
This rebuke for our sake because we have certain tithing rights. We're tithers and we have certain rights from heaven.
Privileges.
Yes, we do. We have privileges.
Privileges.
And God said in the 13th verse of the 3rd chapter of Malachi, your words have been stout against me. Now, Gloria, this comes as a shocking, this has impact that my words can be stout against God. We're created in His image. We're the only thing on this planet that has the right and authority to choose our words and speak them. And our words don't have near the power that God's words do, but God has already spoken His words and given our words power and authority over His words because He said, by your words are you justified, by your words are you condemned, and here He is trying to justify you and you keep condemning yourself.
That's His system. He said it that way.
He said that that way. That was His will and plan to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, look at this. You said it's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we've kept His ordinances and that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? You know how most people say that? You just don't care. I just keep the word. I just walk by faith, and you just don't care. Listen, the one that so loved you, He gave His own only begotten Son, and then that only begotten Son so loved you that He took your sins and sicknesses and diseases and went to hell and suffered there, and you're going to tell Him He doesn't care? No, those words are stout against Him. Now, they said, now, we call the proud blessed. Well, there's no way the proudful are blessed with the blessings of God. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up, and they that tempt God are even delivered. Now, can you hear that, Gloria? That's jealousy. They're in the natural. They're looking at people. That guy may have stolen.
In other words, it's not my fault, God. It's yours.
Yeah. Isn't that what first thing Adam said?
Yep.
It's that exactly woman you gave me. She's the one that caused this. No, she didn't. He was aware of what was going on. She wasn't. It wasn't her fault. It's his. Now, listen to this. We call the proud blessed, and those that work wickedness and tempt God are even delivered. Now, that guy over there in that big house, big car, and all the other stuff that you see, you can't see his heart. You don't know, and you don't know where he got that stuff. You don't know where God gave it to him or where he stole every bit of it. Well, if he stole it, I guarantee it isn't the blessing of God. And if it is the blessing of God, it ain't none of your business. It's God's.
That's right.
So, but the 16th verse, oh, Gloria. I don't know where I can stay strapped this chair or not and read this. This just thrills me so. They that feared or honored the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance
Praise
was written
God.
Before him for them that honored the Lord and that thought on his name. And they'll be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my treasures, and I'll spare them as a man spares his own
Hallelujah.
Son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not.
So there's another witness that your words are important.
Yes,
they
are.
They are important.
And what I was getting at here, you know, you and I do this all the time. We talk the plan of God all the time. And I'll say, wow, Gloria, listen to this. And she'll say, yeah, we sit at home in our two chairs.
Here we'll go.
And here we go. We just have the time of our life.
That's right.
And we get here at this place or the other places that God has blessed us with and anywhere we are. We'll be sitting in chairs like this. I was thinking about that morning that the Lord showed us the 26th chapter of Genesis when Isaac sowed in famine, and we were reading that. And my goodness, the word started jumping out at the two of us. We're sitting there in front of the fireplace, and it is snowing outside. We were up in Colorado. It was snowing, and it was just a knockout outside, and our whole room filled up with the glory of God. It was a most unusual experience. We sat
Thanks
there
God.
For over 6 hours talking the word, and God just laying one revelation right on top of the other,
Thank
on
you.
Top of the other, on top of the other.
We
why?
Loved it too.
Why does he do that? Because of this. We do it often.
Yes, we do.
And we spend time like that with him. It's in those times that his plan emerges. You're not going to get his plan plainly and clearly before you while you're talking bad economy.
That's right.
Oh, poor old me.
That's
oh, look what
point.
The Democrats have done to me. Yeah, but look what the Republicans did to us 2 years ago. And oh, what are we going to do? Woe is us. All is lost. We're losing everything.
We're going to be blessed. That's what we're going to do.
I was writing my next partner letter just before we came up here. And I was just sitting there, and I had begun to write, but I stopped. And the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, it's like watching something in a cage. Running and grabbing and screaming and hollering, trying to get out of the cage. And the more they worry, and the more they cry, and the more they shout, oh, I'm losing everything. All is lost. Oh, we're dying. Oh, we're sick. Oh, and they're just running in circles round and round in this cage. He said, that is a picture of people that built their house on the sand, depending on the economy, depending on the government.
Natural things.
Depending on somebody else. And natural things, natural plans, men's ideas and all of this. You have in mind that your rights come from the government and they're not doing enough for you. Well, no. But a person is, and this thing, the sand, the Lord said, the sand has washed out of their foundation. And so they're buying more sand to put back under it, but it's washing away. And the more they put it under, the nothing will stick.
You see, when you begin to judge others because of what they're doing, you're taking your focus off what you're believing for. If you focus on your priority, you eliminate all your confusion. And nothing wrong with seeing what someone's doing, but you should never judge people. That's not your job to judge. Bible said, judge not that you'll not be judged. Now, Billy Graham said something years ago that stuck in me. He was on Larry King Live. This is years and years ago. And they said, how come you're not critical of other people, you know, like other ministries? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said, it's the Father's job to judge. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. And Larry, it's my job to love. That went off in me like a shotgun. I mean, it's God's business to do the judging. It's the Holy Spirit's business to do the convicting. But it's our business to do the loving. We reach out and love people. So, when God spoke me to be a success, and he said that in Genesis chapter 1, mm-hmm. to be a success spiritually, physically, financially, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Is there any failure in that? None, John. Nothing. That's the first thing he said to the first man, and he's saying it to the last man. God hadn't changed that. But if I go start judging John Copeland or Kenneth Copeland or whoever, then I have taken my eyes off of what I need, and I'm focusing on what they're doing instead of what I should be doing. So I refuse to do that, because what it does is it opens up major leaks in your life. And what I mean, all of a sudden, you're getting hit here, you're getting hit there. You know, how did the devil get to me? Because you took your eyes off of what you were believing for, what you were focusing on. So I made up my mind. I've always been a goal-oriented person. Mm-hmm. I told Kathy, when I married her, now we like two kids. She was 17 years old, I was 20, okay? I said, by the time I'm 33, I will pay my house off. I will buy a home. I will be debt-free on a mortgage. And of course, everybody thought, boy, that boy is stupid, you know, that kind of stuff. Do you know, at 33 years old, I call it the age of Jesus Christ. I had a person from Italy tell me that. He said, how old you are? I said, I'm 33. You're the age of Jésus-Christ. That's how he said it. I've never forgotten that. At 33 years old, I owned my home. The first house I had, I owned it. Now, it only cost $14,700 back then.
Well, still $14,000.
That was a lot of money back then. Awful lot of money. But you see, I set that goal. I set that goal to do that. I made up my mind that I could do that. Now, you know what? I love my mother. She's in heaven. She said, boy, you can't do that. She said, I'm older than you, and we still owe money on this house. I wind up paying off her house. You say, well, I thought if I could pay off my house, why can't I pay off someone else's house? Oh, that sounds crazy. Yeah, but it worketh. You see, instead of judging against it, I judge for it. I said, wait a minute. If I can do that for me, why can't I do that for my mom? You know, and mom and dad struggled. I mean, they had a lot of financial trouble. They came through some tough times. But yet, now this is when I was a sinner. Okay? And I thought, if a sinner can do it, how much more you as a Christian can get what you believe in God for, be a success going somewhere to succeed. I always said that. I am a success going somewhere to succeed. What I didn't realize when I was a sinner, that was a biblical principle. We're the seed of Abraham. What our father of faith has, we should have and better. Even he said that. Mm-hmm. So I remember telling my mom, I said, you know what, Mom? One day I'm going to pay off your house. She said, now, boy, she's patting, I guess. She said, now, boy, that's nice, you know. Now, you would think she'd say, okay, do that, son. Come on, you know. But see, that was impossible for her to believe that. That wasn't her fault because she was told you can't do that. You have to live in debt all the days of your life. You just beat your brains out, live as best you can, and then you just die. That is how most people think. Now, as a sinner, I didn't think that way because I thought, that don't work very well. That isn't fun. I didn't enjoy that. Now, I worked hard. I didn't just sit by saying, well, you know, I'm believing. First, I didn't know what I was believing. I wasn't even saved in those days. But I made up my mind. I knew I had to do some things to achieve that success. And how do I do that? Discipline myself, be responsible to myself and to my vision. Let me say that. Be responsible to myself and to your vision. You have to be responsible because, let me tell you something, success equals responsibility. Good old hard work, and it worked. I mean, I took second jobs. I did things God, even though I didn't realize God was doing that, God gave me opportunities for me to do that. Now, once I got born again, do you know they tried to throw me in a deeper hole than I was when I worked for the devil? Ladies and gentlemen, they said, now, brother, you get ready. The devil gonna beat your brains out, beat you, stomp you, kick you, hurt you, and then they'd get real spiritual, John. But he, oh, Lord, he even kind of put a little rap in their throat. I say, the Lord said that he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And I thought,
made you glad to be a Christian.
Oh, God, what did I get myself into? Then I realized they think Christianity is an endearment when it should be an enjoyment. I heard Reinhard Bonnke say that years and years ago, and I forgot that. Because these little nuggets of truth. I said, and they were mad at me, John, because I was happy. I was a happy Christian. Why? I wasn't going to hell no more, ladies and gentlemen. My focus was toward heaven. My focus was toward things of God. Now, but what I did not know through a lack of the word of knowledge of the Word of God, that God could bless me financially. I thought, I'm going to be poor because Jesus wants me poor. And so I said, I was willing to give all my money away and gave most of it away because I made a lot of money before I was saving in the rock world. I said, well, I'm going to heaven. I'll be poor. That's not the issue. But then I found out that the best thing you can do for the poor is not to be poor. Why? Because then you can help the poor. So I could have spent the rest of my life judging them and them judging me. I forgot those things which are behind. I refused to judge anybody. I focused and said, this is where I'm going. Now, when I met your mother and father, and begin to receive their teaching way back when. I said, oh, I'm going to just tell you exactly what happened. First time I heard your daddy, I said, that can't be true. That just cannot be true. And yet, he had scripture, verse. It was there. And then I thought, how come I didn't read that? Because you see, Christianity taught me to overlook the good stuff, to overlook that and just look for persecution, for suffering, that I was really going to get God's attention, to finance poverty instead of eradicate it. Do you know most, I hate to say this, a lot of charitable organizations today are finance poverty instead of eradicating it. And when I begin to study the Word of God, Luke chapter, I think it's 6, I believe it starts with verse 18 and 19, he said, he went to Nazareth where he was brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. There's delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opens the book and found the place where it's written, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me. This is the first time Jesus ever preaches to a congregation. What comes out of his mouth? What's the first thing that the Son of God would say? The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
The good news.
Good news.
What's good news to a poor person?
Not be poor no more.
That's right.
Now watch this. First thing that drops from the lips of the Son of God, the first message he ever preaches to a crowd, he says,
I've come to give you some good news. This poverty is no good. We're not only going to eradicate it. We're not going to finance it. We're going to eradicate it. We're going to destroy it. Then we're going to heal you brokenhearted. Then we're going to preach the liberty of captive. Then the recovery of sight to the blind. And then we're going to set at liberty them that are bruised. Then we're going to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, which means this, and gave it to a minister. You know what that meant? Don't preach your opinion. Preach this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He wasn't judging. He just preaching what his father told him to preach. And you know what's amazing about Jesus? 12 full-time people on staff, some were married, 70 part-time that he sent out. Have you ever heard him struggling? You ever heard him say, we ain't no food. Father, won't you help me, Lord? Help me, Lord. No. Wore nice clothes, helped people, gave, had an account of stealing from him from 3 years and nobody know about it. Mm-hmm. That means if there's only 5 cents in that bag, John, everybody would have known about it. It's truly amazing. His partners begin to minister him. He had some very wealthy partners to his ministry. You can go read it. Where is it? Go find it. It's in the Bible. That'll help you. And all of a sudden, he began to realize that he was a success going somewhere to succeed. Yeah, but he died a poor man. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. You don't gamble for rags. Gambling is to get something better than what you got. They wanted that seamless robe because it was worth something. Listen. I said that to say this. Your vision is worth something. It's a vision of success, but you'll not get it judging others because you open up major leaks. And you know what happens? What is the leak? What are you leaking? When you start judging others, you're leaking faith. You're leaking love. It's coming out of you. All of a sudden, you become what you don't like. Man asked me, he says, how come you don't get offended? I said, you want the truth? He was mad at me. How come you don't ever get offended? I said, I'm going to be honest with you. Because I don't want to be you. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be mean. He said, why? I said, you're my example. You're frustrated. You're not healthy. You're not feeling good. I said, sir, I'm not against you. I'm for you. You want what I have, joy, peace, faith. But if I start judging and becoming, I leak out faith, I leak out love, I leak out peace. I'm not going to do that. You're doing a good job. You hang in there. I'm telling you, this week will has helped you grow, and I guarantee you, you will not only get your vision to come to pass, there's a success of it, but you're going to help empower others to do exactly the same thing you did, and that's responsibility to that success and to that vision, and before you know it, man, God will have you on another football field, playing another game, because there's something called championship.
Come to these exciting meetings. Come with us to the 2011 Annual Word of Faith Conference, June 17th at the Word of Faith International Christian Center in Southfield, Michigan. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Join us for the Words of His Power Conference, Thursday to Sunday, the 10th through 13th of February at Words of Life Fellowship Church, North Miami Beach, Florida. The Southwest Believers Convention will be held the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests. Come November 10th through 12th to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org.
You know, Gloria, I remember back when we first, just at the very beginning of this ministry, we were sitting at our little table there in Tulsa, about the size of this, and it's a round table about like this one. We were receiving communion before the Lord about the things that we were to settle as the foundations of this ministry. And a goodly part of it had to do with the finances of it.
Yeah.
That we would never ask people for money. Well, and ask people to meet our needs. And at the time, I had it in my mind, because I just so despise religious begging. I had in mind, I said, Lord, I ain't even going to receive offerings. Gloria and I can agree, and I ain't even going to bring that up. He said, no, now you've gotten a ditch on the other side. He said, that's not scriptural. You go to my word. Well, back there then, I came across this Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, he's talking about sowing into the Spirit. Well, you back up here in that sixth verse, let him that is taught in the Word, that's been our job all the time, we knew it back there then, respond to him that teaches in all good things. And he said, if you don't give people a chance to respond to that, he said, giving is always the response. When you receive money, you tithe that money. You go before the Lord and you bless the Lord with your tithe. He said, this is the same activity, just on another level. You receive revelation from the Word. Then you take that Word, and I'm using this advisedly, understand? You tithe that Word back into that teacher's ministry. You become part of that teaching. You become part of its outflow. When you do that is when it takes root in your spirit. You sow to your spirit. And so, in that, when we started this daily broadcast, the Lord said, I want you to make Friday offering day, because people have been taught all week long. Now it's time for them to sow back into what they've heard, and it becomes theirs. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, Father,
thank you, Lord.
We pray over this offering today in the name of Jesus. Reveal to this radio and television audience what their part of this ministry and outreach is.
Yes.
And we thank you for it.
Thank you.
We receive it and release the anointing of increase on their seed and on their lives. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Glory to God.
Hey, I'm telling you, this is a big year.
That's what I'm thinking.
This is a big year.
An awesome
it's
year.
It's big in the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
And Gloria and I want to thank you for being our partners.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something, partners. Everything's going to be all
right.
Have faith in
Amen.
God. New Year's tonight. Don't do something stupid. Do something wonderful. Go out and praise God and give Him the praise for it in Jesus' name. Happy New Year. Remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this broadcast and other KCM products, go to kcm.org. You'll find extensive resources of faith-based teaching to help you find the answers you need. Have faith in God, awaken your heart to Him, and live in the blessing every day.